Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. God's so good, isn't He? Amen. Amen. I tell you, I'm so excited for this evening. God's good. God's good. And we know His Word is good, and He's got help for us in His Word. His Word's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, and we're going to get everything that He has for us tonight. Amen. Everything that He has for us. So if you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and turn to James chapter 5. Praise the Lord. We're going to take a little walk through the Word tonight. I'll tell you, I'll be honest, kind of excited, slash kind of out of my comfort zone. Can I be real here? This is South Dayton, right? We're family. So as I was preparing to preach for this evening, of course, I spent more time preparing than just this day. I began seeking the Lord a few days ago on what He'd have us to go for this evening. And I heard some things in my heart, and they were about prayer. And I thought, well, that's silly. Pastor Michael Loketic just taught on prayer there. What could I possibly have to add to what he had to teach? Now, you may say, that doesn't make any sense. Well, that's what went through my head. And so I wrote today this whole pretty lesson that I was going to preach tonight. And it wasn't on prayer. And then as we were up here before service, oddly enough, praying, the Lord brought some things to my remembrance. And it was some things that He spoke to me while I was out in California at a ladies' conference. I went with my wife, all right? We went out to the ladies' conference last month, and He spoke some things to my heart. And I had written them down, but I misplaced the thing that I wrote them down in. So I said, Lord, you know, bring that to my remembrance. I want to know what that was. And tonight during prayer, He brought it all back. And so we're just going to follow Him tonight. But as I'm sitting back there, I owe Pastor Mike some post-it notes. Because I'm very comfortable with notes, okay? I usually preach from notes. I tend to be a little more teachery when I preach. And so I like to flow with notes. But I also like to, of course, follow the Holy Ghost. And what he may have something different to say than what's in my notes. And I'm okay with that. But to go completely away from my notes, now that's like, Lord, are you sure about that? Those waves are pretty big out there. I don't know about this. Of course, I would have had notes if I would have followed the Holy Ghost in the first place. But we're just going to trust Him to get everything He has for us tonight. Amen. We're going to follow Him and get utterance from heaven this evening. We'll get the plan of God for this service. So why don't we pray before we get in the Word? Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You that it's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And Lord, this is Your service. It's not mine. So whatever You want said, may that be said. Whatever You want done, may that be done tonight. And Father, we trust You for help this evening. Father, we thank You that we'll be strengthened, that we'll grow in You. Father, as I believe You'd have me to minister on the subject of prayer, I thank You that it piques our faith, Father God, that faith comes by hearing. And so this evening, as we hear the subject of prayer taught, thank You for increasing faith in us of the effectiveness of our prayers, Lord, of the need for our prayers. Father, everything that You want said tonight, may that be said. Speak through me this evening and give us help tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in James chapter 5, in verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. But the second part of the scripture is what I want to focus on. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, we know this. There's a lot of different translations about this scripture that talk about the word dynamis in the Greek. And dynamis is where we get our word dynamite from. That means power, right? Dynamite is a powerful substance. It can move mountains. It can be incredibly effective. And so when it comes to our prayers, the prayers of a righteous man, and who's a righteous man? Someone who's born again, right? We look at that word, and sometimes we get tripped up by it, and we think, okay, well, you know, I messed up today, so my prayers probably aren't as effective. No, you're still righteous. We've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that. And so we know that if we're made righteous, our prayers are powerful. They're effective. Listen to New Living Translation. It says, the prayers of a righteous man create great power and produce wonderful results. Create great power and produce wonderful results. Our prayers, when we purpose to be people of prayer, we create power for God to be able to do the things that He wants to do. And in this time, and you know this, we're not, you know, I know this is the Wednesday night crew, so you guys are the hungry ones. You guys, you guys are the ones that have come out to hear the meat of the Word of God. Amen? And I love seeing the Wednesdays grow every time I come out here. People, they get hungrier because we know this, that when we diligently seek Him, He rewards us. Amen. And I'm not saying that we need to seek Him to get rewarded with things. He rewards us with His presence. He rewards us by showing up in our midst. I don't want to be somewhere where God's not in my midst. Amen. I carry Him with Him inside of me. Carry Him with me inside of me. But when I go, and you know that the anointing's in this place tonight. You can sense it in here if you know Him. Amen. And when we meet together, when we glorify Him, when we pray like we did before service tonight, like you have been on your Wednesday nights and on the Tuesdays out in Allegheny, you make that power available to accomplish what God wants to do. And there's a mighty work that He wants to do here, right? We know that. We know that. We've heard all the prophecies. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just stick around for a little bit, because we know this faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And it's so good that you have such a precious pastor. And Pastor Mike, you have such a precious pastor that he reminds you of these things, of the words that have been spoken, not to glorify himself, but to glorify what God wants to do, to get our minds on it, to get our hearts on it, so that we can be focused on doing our part to bring it to come to pass. When we moved into our new building downtown Fredonia there, when we first moved into it back in 2017, we bought the building in 2015. And when we bought it, there was either a 100 amp or 200 amp single phase service that went into the building. Now, if you don't know what that means, I didn't either. I still don't really, so I'm going to just pretend that I do. But basically, it's the amount of power that your electrical service box can provide to the rest of the building. So basically, the bigger the box, the more amperage that panel can support, and the more power it can put out into the building. So when we moved in, we had this really small panel there. Like I said, I don't remember if it was 100 amp or a 200 amp, which is usually what you'd have in a house. And it can do things in your house just fine. You can even run, you know, maybe central air conditioning in your house off of a panel that size. But we had plans for that building. We had big plans for that building. That worked for how the people before us used it. They didn't have air conditioning that they wanted to run. They didn't have a state-of-the-art sound system that they wanted to run. They didn't have, smart systems that they wanted to run to make it more effective for people to use their smart devices and service to access the Bible. All these things that we wanted to do to upgrade our building, we had vision for it. We knew that there were big things that we wanted to do there. But before we could do any of those things, we had to upgrade our power capability. See, if we only had a 100 amp panel in that building, we couldn't have central air conditioning in the sanctuary. It would have blown that panel right out. So we had to upgrade that panel. See, there's things that God wants to do through this ministry that you get to be associated with. What an honor to be a part of this. Amen. What an honor to see what God is doing here. But we're at a point where we've got to be willing to upgrade that service panel. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that we've got to take our place in prayer for the things of God to come to pass. And, you know, sometimes I know when I was younger, I used to think, oh, he's teaching on prayer again. You know, just being real with you, right? Let's be real tonight. Teaching on prayer again. Can't we teach on, you know, I need peace in my life. I need increase in my finances. I need health in my body. Listen, if we don't get prayer right, we're not going to partake of the other stuff. If my power panel isn't functioning properly, I'm not enjoying any electricity in my house. Amen. So we take our place to bring in the power into the house of God. And the more people that we have praying, the higher capability there is for power in that house. And so when we all take our place in prayer to bring that power into the house of God, that's how God accomplishes the work that He wants to do in this time and in this place, and in not just in the end time move of God, but you understand we're part of something bigger, right? And I know Pastor Michael has taught on these things here, of course, too, but the family churches, we're not just here to start off a little group of churches, right? We are here strategically placed by Jesus Christ for the end time move of God. There are things that He wants to do, and if you were in the services last week with the Durants, you heard some of the things that they prophesied about it as well, that every part of this group has a different piece to play. Pastor Michael walks in the office of apostle and prophet and pastor, and so he has a part to play in leading the movement, pastoring the other pastors. Your pastor has a part to play. And we know some of those things. We don't know all of them. God doesn't reveal the fullness of His plan. I kind of wish He did, right? Wouldn't it be nice to get to know the whole thing, the end from the beginning? But then there would be no faith required. And faith is what pleases God. And so we know that there are great things that need to be accomplished. The only way that they're going to be accomplished is if we pray. All of us. All of us. It's a call up to all of us tonight. And I know we got called up last month, but how many know you didn't hear the word once, and that was enough for us, right? Amen. And I believe the Holy Ghost was stressing on my heart tonight that we need to get this word out to that we can all step up our place and take our place in prayer. For I take my place in prayer for my pastors, and specifically what I want to look at tonight is how you can pray effectively for your pastor. Because your pastor needs your prayers. Amen. I give you this illustration. You think about it this way. Prayer, like I said, makes power available. Picture it as fuel, right? If prayer is fuel, diesel fuel, regular fuel, whatever works for your illustration, you can take it. We're just going to say fuel. But fuel can do different things. Fuel can work in a lawnmower. I can put fuel in my lawnmower, and I can mow my lawn, and I can get the job done pretty effectively with some gas in my lawnmower. But at the same time, if you get a large quantity of diesel fuel and you throw it into a freight engine of a locomotive, well, that thing can move some stuff. That thing can have a whole line of freight cars behind it being moved by that single diesel engine. Now, both of these are engines, but there's two different jobs that they're set to accomplish. See, there's churches out there and there's ministries out there, and all that God's placed every part of the body as it pleases Him. We know this, right? And so if there's churches out there that we may look at and say, well, what are you doing? Listen, they're being effective mowing their lawn. If that's what God has for them to do, they're being effective at it. There's churches, and that's all the power that they need generated for them. They could maybe have just the pastor praying for that church and that work, and it's just enough fuel to mow that lawn. But God has called your pastor, God's called the family churches to move some freight, right? To do some things, to bring miracles to people. God wants to bring these miracles to people, and think of that as a large freight. It's going to take power in that engine to do it. Amen. And we're the ones that supply that power. What an honor for us. You know, when we're young and immature in the things of the Spirit, we look at prayer as a laborious time. No, what an honor it is to get to be the one to provide power to move God to His people. I mean, and when we take our place in the Spirit, you know, he that waters shall himself be watered, the Bible says. Right? That's in the Bible. Yeah, that's in the Bible. He that waters shall himself be watered. Listen, you can't take your place as a prayer warrior and not get blessed for it. I don't know a single person that has sacrificed themselves to be a person of prayer that has not been rewarded supernaturally by God in the natural for it. Amen? It's not, yes, I believe we're going to get to heaven and we're going to see those little prayer grandmas that, you know, have the bigger crowns than the Brother Hagins up there because they were faithful to do what God called them to do. But all of us can be so effective in the things of the Spirit if we're willing to sacrifice and take the time to do it. Amen. And this is where we prove the rubber meets the road. Because it's not always just me, me, me. I. It's not just about what we can get for ourselves. It's about the power that we can generate for God to get Himself to His people. Yeah. Amen. There are people out there that need the miracles that your prayers will generate. Yeah. Amen. And so we're going to take our place in these things. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We're going to take our place. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now we're going to read quite a bit here. We're actually going to read the whole chapter. So buckle up. Here we go. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. When he had declared all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Let's stop there for a second. So we see who Cornelius is. Now we know Cornelius was a Gentile that had he become a proselyte of the Jewish faith. That means that he began to practice the Jewish faith. And even though he wasn't circumcised into the Jewish faith, he wasn't raised in it, he began to act and think and do and believe as a Jew did, because he wanted God. You understand? And when you want God, you'll take whatever you can get to get you close to him. You'll do whatever it takes to get near to him. And so this may not have been the highest and best, but he didn't know that yet. Because up until this point, like I said, Cornelius was a Gentile. The Holy Spirit had not been poured out upon the Gentiles. The Jews still believed that the move of God, that what God was doing by raising his son from the dead, was for the Jewish people. They didn't believe that God had opened up all of this love and all of this freedom and all of this saving and salvation, that he'd opened that up to the Gentiles in the world. Because he hadn't yet. Nobody knew that that was what the full plan of God was. So here we have a hungry Gentile who wanted God. That was all he was. He was a hungry man who wanted God. And he did two things that stood out to God. He was a devout man. This is what qualified him as devout. He feared God with all his house. So he loved the Lord. Now we know that. We've been about part of this faith long enough. We know that word fear doesn't just mean that we cower in fear of him, but that we reverence and honor and respect God and worship him. Worship him. So he was a devout man, excuse me, and one that worshiped God with all his house. And these are the characteristics. That's how we could view this scripture. These are the characteristics of one who is a devout man that loves the Lord. Listen to these two things. He gave alms to the people. Gave much alms to the people. That means that he was a giver. He was a sower. Listen, like I said earlier, that giving is just a reflex for a Christian. When you get born again, you get the characteristics on you of Jesus Christ. Those characteristics are giving. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave, right? When you get born again and Jesus comes into our heart, we begin to possess those characteristics. And if our father's a giver, my kids look like me, right? You can see my kids and you know that they're my kids. People ought to be able to know whose kid we are. How do we distinguish that? By our giving. When we become givers, sacrificial givers, just like our father was, I'll tell you, that's what qualifies us. It's what distinguishes us as children of God. Something's different about that person because they gave even when it hurt. They gave to that cause no matter what it took. And I'll tell you, that's how we're going to be characterized. Amen. So this is the qualification of this devout man. Chapter 10, verse 2. One that feared God with all his house. So he worshiped the Lord. This was the first qualification that showed it, the first sign of it. He gave alms to much people. And he prayed to God always. This was a defining characteristic of the fact that this man was a devout man. Well, I'll tell you, how many of us believe we're devout? Don't raise your hands tonight. I know, Jeff, you were about to. Praise the Lord. There you go. We believe that we're devout, right? Why? Because we know we're made righteous. But the qualifications, what define this man of devout in the eyes of God, because this angel showed up after these qualifications were revealed to us, he was a giver and he was a prayer. Those are the two things that when we begin to sacrifice from ourselves, because when you give of your finances, you're sacrificing from yourself. When you give of your time in prayer, you're sacrificing of yourself for someone else. Those are things that God takes note of. He sees that and he says, I can work with that. That person is willing to lay down their life for my cause. I can work with that. And so we see Cornelius here. He was a prayer and he was hungry for God. He was hungry for the move of God. He was hungry for what God wanted to do. Because of that, God began to do some things. Let's see what he did. Verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. And while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And the heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came to him a voice, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake to him for the second time, What God has cleansed, call thou not common. Wow. That call not thou common. Say that three times fast. This was done thrice. Apparently God did say it three times fast. And the vessel, did you like that? All right. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, that verse right there blesses me so much, because when we look at spiritual leadership, we often view them as high and untouchable by anything that touches us, right? And they are in a place that we ought to view them with honor and reverence in the offices that they walk in. But here, for Peter to say he doubted in himself what that vision should mean, that means that he didn't know what God was trying to say. Have you ever been in a time where you didn't know what God was trying to say? Right? And the devil used that and try to make you think that you're missing it somehow. No, Peter didn't know what God was trying to say, but that didn't mean that he didn't pursue God because of it, and he didn't get into condemnation because of it either. Blesses me. So, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent to him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that fears God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear the words of thee. Now we'll stop there again for a second. These things that are happening, you understand, are not natural occurrences. They ought to be, I think it was Brother Kevin that said this, they ought to be normal occurrences, but that doesn't mean that they're natural occurrences. Right? A man having a vision from God where God is upending his theology is not a natural occurrence. That's supernatural what was happening here. To be in a trance and to be able to see the things of God, see into the spirit realm. See, you're looking at me, some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. Have you ever seen a floating sheet come down from the sky with animals on it? I mean, I never have. So where I come from, this is not a natural occurrence. Right? This is supernatural. This is God moving in their midst. What brought this supernatural move to come to pass? What brought this vision that then began to lead the entire church, the entire body of Christ at that time, into the next phase of what God had for him? It was a man who prayed. A man who took his place in prayer and sought after the things of God brought about a move of God into that time that those people needed. Amen. And we've all benefited from it. Because I don't know about you, I wasn't born a Jew. So I'm sure glad that God moves for the Gentiles. Yeah. Because I need Jesus, right? We all did. And so we're thankful that Cornelius prayed. Now, God would have still sought. He's always looking for some man to get out what he wants to do. But God put this in here for our admonition. He put this in here for us to be able to see that when we take our place in prayer, the move of God can be accomplished. Now, I know I said I'd read through the chapter. I'm not tonight. Because I want to say this. This verse is about the move of God as a whole. Our job here tonight, what we're talking about is taking our place for our pastor in prayer. But there's truths in this that we need to see, knowing what your pastor is called to. He's called to something bigger than just these four walls, right? He's called to something bigger than just the Allegheny four walls. And because of that, that means that we have to be people of prayer, just like Cornelius was, so that we can bring to pass the will of God and what he wants to do. You know, miracles take a certain amount of power in the Spirit to come to pass. Just like this vision took a certain amount of power in the Spirit to come to pass. Now, I don't know if there's no scripture that tells us if there's a formal system, like this miracle cost this much prayer time. Let's not get legalistic about it. But we know it's a scriptural precedent. The more that we pray, the more power is made available. If it takes power to do miracles, if it takes power for our pastors to pastor effectively, and it does. If you think that your pastor can pastor without the power of God behind him, you're sorely mistaken. There's a gift and anointing on his life to get the job done, but there's also power of God that's needed to get that job done. You know, you can have a beautiful car. Your pastor, he's a beautiful pastor. I'm not just saying he looks good. I'm saying he's a beautiful pastor, right? He exemplifies that office. When I want to know stuff about pastoring, I come to your pastor. I ask his input. He's helped me through so much in my life. There's been times where I was down and out, and I didn't have anything left to give. And I thought that was it. I thought I was going under. And I came to your pastor, and he helped me. He brought me back up. He's a precious man. Precious man. But you can have a beautiful car. You can have a car that's top-notch, top-of-the-line, fully loaded, got all the great fixings in it, but if there's no gas in that tank, that car's not going anywhere. Right. Listen, your pastor, he's a beautiful car. He's a beautiful pastor. I don't know if I keep saying that, but really, the call that's on his life is tremendous and rare. There are not pastors like him across the body of Christ. People who sacrifice the entirety of their life for sheep in places that are an hour drive one way from their house. People don't do that. You understand? Pastors want a parsonage that they can walk to the church from. I mean, most pastors in America do. They don't want to have to sacrifice for the things of God. But your pastors do. They give their lives for this. So here we have this beautiful vessel that's called of God to do this amazing thing. We are the ones that put the fuel in that tank. And if we don't take our place to do it, it will not get where it has to go. And we can't paint it any more real than that. And it's nothing that, you know, if there's another place that'll fill up the tank, God will put them there. I'm saying, Dr. Dufresne came to our church, the Fredonia Church, one time. And I don't know if I've shared this here before, but the Fredonia Church was not at that time honoring Pastor Michael the way that he should be honored. You understand, a pastor, and we can look in scriptures if you don't believe me for this, but a pastor ought to be honored, right? They walk in a high office, in one of God's offices, and that means they ought to be taken care of. Amen. The pastor ought to be able to live just like a shepherd lives off the sheep. Right, a pastor lives off the church, and he ought to be able to live well. He's given his life for the gospel. Yes. He's doing this to bring people to heaven. Yes. Not to mention that when a pastor gets to heaven, he's got to answer to Jesus for the state of his sheep. Right. So how we receive the things of God, our pastor's going to answer for it. Yes. That's a heavy load, and so if it means that they get blessed on this earth, praise the Lord for it. Yes. Where was I going? I don't even remember where we were going to go from there. Praying for them, honor for them. Yeah, let's see. Thank you, Father. The Fredonia Church, thank you. So Dr. Dufresne was at the Fredonia Church, and at that time they were not honoring Pastor Michael as he should be. His salary was obscenely low to the point, and he shared his testimony publicly before, but he was pastoring both churches at that time, Fredonia and Jamestown, and he'd be digging through his couch cushion for quarters just to be able to give his kids milk. That's not right. That's not right for any child of God, let alone someone that's given their life for the gospel. And so the Lord had a message for the Fredonia people because of it. Now, let me preface this. I am not delivering the same message here tonight. So there is no, that is not what this is. I'm just saying so we can see the importance of this. Dr. Dufresne got up and he said, if this church does not honor this pastor the way he ought to be, God will put him somewhere else. Now we know, we've seen the fruit of Pastor Michael's life. His ministry was called to change the East. Right, it was called to bring all of us into this last day move of God. But if we didn't take our place as his sheep and support him the way that we were supposed to, God would put somewhere else where he would. You know, think about it this way. If you've got kids and you love your kids so much, but you've got two kids, and one of them is like hits the nail on the head every time, 100% A-plus average, and the other one's barely making it through school. And you don't understand the illustration, right, that there's the successful one and the one that you love just because they're your kid. And I'm not saying any of us in this place have that tonight. We're just, for this illustration, that works. Now, say you bought this kid a $200,000 Lamborghini vehicle, the not successful kid. Well, this kid can't hold down a job to save his life. He can't do anything. And so there's this beautiful car, and it's sitting in his driveway, and it's not doing anything at all. Now, I know this is probably going to rub some American skin the wrong way, but there are consequences, in my household anyways, if my kids are not good stewards of their stuff. They will lose said stuff, right? My one son, he has a phone, and it's not hooked up to any networks or anything. He just uses it to play some games and send me text messages like, hi, Daddy, I love you. And I love getting those, so I let him use it. But if there's times that he's not a good steward of that, or he breaks the rules that have been set forth, it gets taken away from him. It doesn't make me a bad daddy. I'm teaching him to be a good steward of it. So here's this guy that's kind of a flop in life, and he's got this beautiful car, but he's not being a good steward of it. He can't put any fuel in the tank, and the thing is just sitting in the garage collecting dust. And you know, when cars sit, it's not good for them over time either. It decreases the value because the parts sit and they're supposed to move, all these sorts of things. So me as a father, I'm seeing that, and I would say, okay, you know what? You're not being a great steward of that. I'm going to take that from you and give it to somebody else who's going to be a good steward of it. That's not me being a bad father. That's me teaching him to be a good steward of the things that belong to him. That's what God was saying to our church, that if we're not going to take care of what we're supposed to take care of, he'll put it somewhere else. Now again, I am not saying that's what God is saying here tonight for Pastor Mike. Not in any way, shape, or form. If you say that, I'm going to call you a liar because that's not what I'm saying. But it's the principle of the matter. Right? We have to be good stewards of our pastors. God has given us a gift in our pastors. He's given us a gift of the ministry offices, someone that we can bless, someone that we can honor, someone that we can come to hear from God on a weekly basis. Amen. They are the mouthpiece of God into our life. That's a weighty thing. And if all it takes is for us to just pray for them a little bit, is that so much to ask? Is that so much to do? No, it's not. If you're wondering the answer to the question I just asked you, all right? I know some of you are like, bring Pastor Mike back. Who is this guy? He'll be back next week on Sunday. He'll be back for you. But these are important truths that we need to see. You see, I've given my life, the call on my life right now is to serve another man and to lift him up and to help him and to be a blessing to him. So I've given my life to this cause to help further someone else's plan of God. And I do that for Pastor Michael. We're all called to do that in some way, shape, or form for our pastors. That's why we come here. That's why we tithe here. That's why we serve here. That's why we give here. That's why we fellowship here. Because the plan of God that needs to be accomplished through what our pastors are called to can't be done without the sheep taking their place. You can't have a successful sheep farm without any sheep on it. Right? It's just part of it. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. It's just over one page there. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1 says this, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also, then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping, behold, two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Rise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands, and the angel said to him, Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, Cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. So here's a supernatural occurrence, a supernatural deliverance of a man of God in the church, right? This is this is not natural. People do not suddenly wake up in prison and their chains fall off and they walk out in the middle of the night. If they do, that's not a very effective prison. You understand? I mean, it's not doing its job. But here, there was a supernatural occurrence. But what was the difference? Because James was in the same exact situation, but he was killed. What was the difference? Prayer. Prayer. The church prayed. Now, thank God your pastor's not in prison tonight. But there is still a not natural thing that needs to be done through his ministry. And you understand, I'm not just talking about the supernatural miracles. I'm not just talking about the arms growing out. Every time that we come into the house of God and hear an anointed man preach to us, that is the move of God. That is a visitation from heaven. That is a supernatural occurrence. Because we've all been at those motivational speakers in the world, and they can have some nice things to say to maybe kind of float you up for a little bit, but that's not anything you can build the foundation of your life on. It's not anything that'll change your life. There's no power in what they're saying. I want to know that when my man of God gets up to preach the word, he's got power and utterance behind what he's saying, because I need that in my life. I don't want somebody just to tell me everything's going to be all right. Sometimes maybe that feels good, right? But it doesn't do anything. It doesn't fix anything. It doesn't change anything. Only the word of God can change your circumstance from hell to heaven. Only the word of God can do it. It took you out of hell and delivered you into heaven. It can do that in every arena of your life. But if you don't have someone preaching that to you with power behind it, it's never going to be done. We all know people in churches that don't have power in them. Now, praise the Lord, they're helped a little bit. And I, you know, there are churches out there that they teach just salvation, and we say just salvation like it's a light thing. That is a glorious thing. Praise the Lord, they're going to heaven. But there's no power being preached to bring change into their life. I was in Mayville on Sunday. I was preaching at the Mayville Family Church. I'm just kind of doing a tour right now, you understand? And I was out to lunch with some folks afterwards, and they were sharing their testimony with me. Here was this couple, precious couple. They serve the Lord. They love the Lord. Got a family, just been completely turned around by God. But what did they do? There wasn't some grandiose miracle coming down. They got under someone that preached the word with power. And their life was changed forever. Their marriage was saved. Their daughter was saved, delivered from all these awful situations, mental attacks and things like that, completely and totally delivered from them. Why? Because they got under someone teaching with power. We need our pastors to have power to teach us. We need our pastors to have power to do what God's called them to do. You understand, we're going to look at some scriptures tonight about how to pray effectively for them. This is the why of why we need to do it. We need, of course, there are those out there who just God telling them to pray is enough. But there are those who also need a little bit more nudging, right? I have one kid who you just tell him that the water's good and he'll jump right in. There's another one who you need to prove by the temperature, you need to swim in it for a little bit. You need to show him that it's actually okay for him to be in before he'll even put a toe in it. We don't want to be like that about the things of God, but in case that is you tonight, no condemnation or bondage put on you in this place tonight. We're showing you in the Word why we need to do these things. Because if you want your life changed, not just your life, if you want other people's lives changed, we can't be selfish about the things of God. Amen. Philippians 4:19 isn't just for me to get a bigger house. That's a part of it. Praise the Lord for it. But that's not the only reason that we got Philippians 4:19. 1 Peter 2:24 isn't just so that I can get rid of the sniffles if they come. Right? It's for God to move supernaturally for other people as well. Jesus died for the whole world. And each and every person that comes through these doors that's divinely ordered of God, you ever talk to people's testimonies? Every one of you tonight has got an amazing testimony of how you got planted in the seat where you're at tonight. Guarantee it. We don't have time for every single person to tell us about it, but I guarantee the steps that it took for you to get where you are tonight are supernatural. Supernatural. That took power to come to pass because someone else in this church chose to pray. Amen. And that's what, imagine how much more if we all take our place in prayer. The Bible says this, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. That's not just simple addition. That's miraculous multiplication, right? That's exponential increase. So if one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000, three, we'll just keep going up from there. I don't know if it goes to 100,000, maybe 19,000. You go ahead, you figure that out, and you let me know. Either way, we know it's more, right? It's more. And so if we take our place in prayer, there's so much more that God can do in our midst. Again, not just for the miraculous, not just for the arms growing out. And I say just like that's a little thing. Praise the Lord, I'm excited to see arms grow out. I'm excited to see these things come to pass, but I'm also thrilled, beyond thrilled, when I hear about someone who just got planted in the church and their life was changed because of it. Amen. Amen. And we can all testify to that tonight. We can all say that our lives are better because we got under someone that preached the word with power. Amen. So we know this. We have got to pray for our pastors. We've got to take our place in prayer for them. We've got to lift them up. God is calling us higher to lift up our pastors in prayer. So what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to share with you some scriptures this evening that you can pray for your pastors, because there are effective ways to pray for them. And I know that you guys have those cards that have been given out about how to pray. This is probably just a reiteration of what's on those. But faith comes by hearing and hearing. And so maybe you're newer in this place tonight and you're wondering, how can I, you know, I want to pray effectively. I want to make power available. This is how we're going to do it tonight. So go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I'll tell you something else tonight. You don't need to ask the Lord if you are called to pray for your pastor. This is not some ministry office that you have to be called and asked of God to come into. Now, there are people who are called to take a certain place in prayer for the move of God. We know about Charles Finney and the revival that happened back in the mid-1800s in this area. Hundreds of thousands of people got born again. But there was a prayer man. His name was Father Nash. And he was anointed of God to pray for Charles Finney, to pray for the ministry, to pray and prepare the places for him before he went. There were people that would go out and would prepare. If they knew that Charles Finney's ministry was going to come to a certain town, they would go to that town days ahead of time and just pray 24/7 around the clock to make power available, to do things. Last night at the Fredonia Church, we had service, Tuesday night service, and there was a powerful move of God, heavy move of God. It was one of the heaviest anointings that I've ever felt before. And the Lord delivered some utterances through Pastor Michael and shared some things with us that I'm so grateful he did, and I'm paraphrasing tonight. But one of the things he said was that God is going to make a show of the family churches. Amen. He's going to make a show of us. What does that mean? That doesn't mean he's going to make a mockery of us before. He said God wants to show people what he'll do for his people through the family churches. Now, there's things that have been put on my pastor's heart with regard to prayer that we're implementing some of these things. And, of course, I know you're doing the same thing. You have these prayer meetings here Wednesday nights, the Allegheny Church on Tuesday nights, to make this power available. But this is a real thing, folks. It's not just another chance for us to get together. This is a real thing. It requires power to do what God wants to do. So we're going to generate that power. Now, when we pray in line with Scripture, I got tripped up by it when I was younger because I grew up in a church where they gave us prayers to pray. I don't know if you grew up in a church like that, but I was in Sunday school, and I can remember going through some of the classes up till it was a certain age or whatnot, and there was books that they sent home with us, and on the back of those books, I can still picture it, there were prayers that I was supposed to pray at breakfast, prayers I was supposed to pray at lunch, prayers I was supposed to pray at dinner, and prayers I was supposed to pray before bed. And you had to check off every day that you prayed those. And if you did that, you'd bring it to Sunday school on Sunday, and you'd show the person there, and they would say, okay, that's another check mark for you in heaven. Good job. And that was how they believed that you got into heaven. Teaching that to kids, my goodness. I'm so thankful that God's not like that. He just wants our hearts. Amen. He just wants our hearts. And so when I started hearing that this was the way to pray according to Scripture, it did trip me up a little bit because I thought, well, wait a second. I thought we weren't about all this vain repetition stuff. Listen, when that bill comes in the mail, are you not quoting Philippians 4:19? When that symptom starts to rise up, are you not saying, by his stripes I have been healed? Sure you are. Knowing how to use Scripture effectively is not the same as vain repetition of a man's prayer. You understand? We are repeating Scripture. This is the Word of God. So you are uttering the same words that God himself uttered. So that's a holy thing. So in Ephesians chapter 1, and time is slipping away here tonight, so we're going to start verse 16. Now this is Paul praying for the church at Ephesus, but we pray these prayers for our, you can pray them for yourself, you can pray them for your family and friends that are believers. These are prayers for believers, that you can pray for believers. But in this instance, we're talking about praying these for our pastor. All right, starting in verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you would know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And I don't have time tonight to teach this scripture by scripture, but the summary of what this prayer is for the person that you're praying for is you are praying that, number one, they know the will of God for their life, and number two, they know who they are in Christ. Because if our pastors are going to be effective, they need to know the will of God for their life and ministry, and they need to know that they know who they are in Christ. Because the attacks that we face are nothing compared to the attacks that our pastors face. You think of this. If the leader is scattered, right? If the leader is taken out, the sheep are scattered, right? If the devil can take out the one that we all come to for our heavenly visitation, he can disband an entire unit of what God is doing. So you think you're under attack in areas. We think we're under attack in areas. They're nothing compared to what the attacks are that our pastors face. Amen. Now, I'm not saying anything specific tonight. I'm just saying I know that my pastor goes through greater attacks than I do. It's scriptural. The devil wants to take him out because then he can scatter what all that God is doing. And so that's why we have to take our place in prayer to be that shield against them. I know I've shared that illustration here before about the Star Trek Enterprise, right? USS Enterprise. I'm giving it all she got, Captain. Where are your shields at, right? We are the shield surrounding our pastor. We're the ones that generate the power for that shield to provide protection for what's the word I'm looking for? I was going to say, yeah, that thing, the ship, what God wants to do. You understand? So when you take your place in prayer, you're providing that shielding against them, protecting them against the attacks of the enemy. And they need our protection. They need our help. They need us to take our place in that. And they'll never ask for it, almost never. I can think of one time in the history that I've been with Pastor Michael, and it was a Tuesday night service, and he was going through a phase of ministry. And he shared this before as well. And he said, I need my church to pray for me. I need my people to pray for me. And so we did. We all prayed for him that night, and he broke through the thing that he needed to break through. But it shouldn't have gotten to that point. It shouldn't have gotten to that. If we had been taking our place like we were supposed to, it wouldn't have gotten to that point. Kenneth E. Hagin shared about this, that he had a team that knew that prayed for him. When one of them went home to be with the Lord, he sensed a lack in his ministry, in the power in his ministry, because that person had gone home to be with the Lord. We ought to be providing so much power for our pastors that when we're not there, they know it. You understand? And I'm not saying that we don't take our place or that, you know, we wait till we die because of it, but just that's the goal that we ought to have, to be so effective in prayer for them. So that's the number one way, that Ephesians chapter 1 there, to make power available for them, is to make sure that they know the will of God for their life and ministry, and that they know who they are in Christ so that they can stand against the attacks of the enemy. Now, flip over a page or two to chapter 3, verse 14. This is the next prayer that you can pray for them. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the, and you can fill in their name here, that he would grant Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith, and that they, being rooted and grounded in love, would be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that they would be filled with all the fullness of God. And unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now these scriptures here again, I don't have time to pick it apart verse by verse, but these, they pray for strength. So in chapter 1, you've prayed for your man of God, for your pastor, to know the will of God for his life and ministry. Now, chapter 3, we're praying for them to have the strength to take the steps that God's ordained for them to take. Because it takes faith to run a ministry, you understand? It takes faith to pastor a church. And so he may know what God's called them to next. He may know the next building project. He may have these things stirring around in his heart. But it also takes strength and faith to be willing to lead a people into those things. When Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, took over after Moses had died. He took over leadership of the Israelites. And three times in chapter 1, in the first 9 verses, God tells him, be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? He tells him over and over again to be strong and courageous. Why? Because he knows that it's going to take him having strength and trust in God to go into the land that God's called them to. There's things that your pastor's been called into, but unless we pray for them to have the strength to get there, we're not going to be able to get to those things. And that's what these verses pray out for them. Just a couple more I want us to see. Go ahead and turn to, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us. This is Paul saying it. So if Paul is saying it, if Paul is telling the brethren to pray for him, how much more do we need to pray for our pastors, right? We all have to take our place. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So when we pray these for Pastor Mike and for Pastor Courtney and for this ministry, it's pretty simple. We're praying that the word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified. That means that the word would always be the focus of what's going forth here. It's just helping them be grounded in who they are and the message that they preach. And that this is important in verse 2, that they'd be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So when would we use this? Because generally in America, we don't get attacked too much, especially in this area. It's more conservative area, you understand? But there's been plenty of times code inspectors, insurance companies, we've had to pray these things. I just went through a building project. I mean, I was praying the scripture up, down, and sideways all the time. Why? Because that could hinder the move of God, could hinder what God wants to do. We've had great favor with our local code inspector. That's not coincidence. It's not just because I'm a nice guy. It's because we've been praying the will of God to become to pass, that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. There was a code inspector in before the current code inspector, and he did not like us. He did not like what we were doing. He would come in and we'd have to purposely, can I say this on live stream? I don't even know. We would put some things out, just so that he'd see those things, so that he wouldn't make something else up that was bigger that we had to do. Oh, you're right, we put that extension cord out. I'm sorry, we'll take care of that. And then, you know, he wouldn't make us do a whole electrical upgrade on the entire building or something like that. I wasn't doing anything wrong, so don't look at me like that, right? But before this building project, where we had to go through a whole lot more than an annual inspection, he was out of the picture. Why did that happen? Someone was praying that we'd be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Amen. And now there was a great man in that we had great favor with, and smooth process getting through, zero code interruptions whatsoever. There's a reason for that when we take our place in prayer. Now the last one I want you to go to is Acts chapter 4. I should say the second to last one. Acts chapter 4. Verse 29. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. So they're telling God about the threatenings that were coming against the church. Threatenings coming against what God wanted to do in their midst, against their leadership, against their visitations. It said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Because we know this, we said already, that the word is what brings change. The word is what brings the effectiveness of God into the situation. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. See, if no one asks, these things aren't going to come to pass. If no one's desiring these things, they're not going to happen. There's a verse in Matthew that says, you have not because you ask not. We forget that sometimes. Why isn't this working? Why aren't these things changing? Why have you asked God? Right? We want these things. We want our pastors to have utterance from heaven every time we come together. But we take for granted that they're just going to. Right? And there is an anointing on their life to do it. There has to be. Especially when you start a church, because you've got people that, I mean, we all remember, we all started somewhere. When you've got a church of a bunch of babies that don't know how to receive the things of God, I'm not shaming anybody. It's just we all have to grow into that, right? You grew to learn how to desire the things of God. But our pastors, so they have to be anointed to preach. That's one part of it. But we also have to understand our part to ask God to move in our midst. God, give my pastor utterance from heaven. I ask you to give them I ask you to give them boldness when they preach the word of God. Now you may say, I don't need to ask God for Pastor Mike to have boldness. That's probably true. But do it anyways, right? Because it's boldness that breaks stuff off. The anointing destroys the yoke. You want anointed teaching going forth because that's what destroys the yokes on people's lives. And that's how we do it, by praying for these things to come to pass. Now, the last one I want you to see, and we'll close with this, is in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 8, I'm sorry. And in verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. And if you came to the prayer service before service tonight, the prayer meeting before service, you know that we prayed in English for a while. And this isn't some big complicated thing. We prayed in English for 5 minutes. That was it. We just went through those scriptures that I read to you tonight. We prayed out those things, and then we prayed in tongues for 25 minutes. But we were effective. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is our helper. See, we weren't taking the easy way out. We prayed what we knew to in English. And of course, there's more utterances that we could have prayed out. But we know that the Holy Ghost, God sent him to us not just as our comforter, but as our helper. And not just as our helper to get through life. He's also our helper in prayer. Right? So tonight, as we were praying, I said, Holy Ghost, you're our helper. Help us to pray for Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney. Because he knows what they need when we don't. That's what the scripture is saying. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. We can only get so far. We can pray these general prayers over them, but there may be specific needs in their life that we have no idea about. There may be specific things that they're going through that we have no idea what those are. And we shouldn't have any idea what those are. We don't need to have any idea what those are because we have the Holy Ghost. We've got a helper who knows what those things are. And when we pray in other tongues, we're directing our prayers. We're directing that spiritual power at that specific thing. Pastor Michael's given this illustration before. Or you can be out there, and there can be a target on that wall. Maybe he gave this when he was out here that Sunday morning. I don't know. There can be a target on that wall. Now, I know your pastor likes archery hunting. I don't know anything about it, so I'm probably going to hold my bow and arrow all wrong tonight. But if I'm shooting, and there's the target, that's the goal that I want to hit. That's the thing I need to be effective in. And I'm just shooting off bows everywhere. I can't get mad that I'm not hitting the target. I'm not effectively aiming for it. Right? But when I get effective and I zero in on that and I hit it and in one shot, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you can take care of more in 5 minutes than you can an hour praying in English. Because he knows the exact situations that need those arrows to hit them. Amen. And so when we take our place in prayer, we pray these things out in English. We pray in the Holy Ghost for our pastors. We know that we're effective to do what he's called us to do. Amen. That's where he's called us to be support. I know when Dr. Dufresne went home, my pastors went out to California for the memorial service out there. And we were having a Tuesday night service. And I don't remember if the whole thing was a prayer service or if I preached first. I'm not sure. I think it was just a prayer service, if I remember right. But I was up here, I was praying around the altar, and just inside of my spirit, I saw some things. And one of the things that I saw was the leadership in the body of Christ that I knew. You know, there's leaders all over the body of Christ, but God will talk to us about situations that we're familiar with. And I saw in my spirit the leadership in the body of Christ. And I saw that they were almost sitting on the hands of people, and we were lifting them up. We were raising them up. We were supporting them in what they had to do. And I learned some things about prayer with that. The Lord was showing me that we had to take our place in prayer for our leadership if they're going to see the things that they need to see. They're going to take care of the things that they need to take care of. And we want them to. And the Lord will bless us for it too. Like I said, they that water shall themselves be watered. Right? He sees to it that those that sow into his kingdom reap of his blessings. They that honor me, I shall honor. 1 Samuel 2:30 tells us that. So I believe we are all going to be people of prayer. Amen. We're going to take our place in prayer and in the things of God. Amen. So let's pray tonight. It's good to pray. Father, we thank you for this service. Thank you for the words that were delivered here tonight. Thank you for helping us, for calling us up higher this evening. Lord, we love you. And we love your plan for every part of our life. And Lord, it's our desire tonight to be prayers, to be those that make power available, to be those that take our place to increase the power in your house, to increase the power to the ministry, to increase the power to do what you want to do. Now, I do want to give an invitation because I don't know everyone in this place. If you're here tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity. We talked a lot about some of the deeper things of the word tonight. You don't hear this stuff preached on the radios or on TV, on Christian TV, because a lot of people, they can't stomach the fact that we're to submit spiritually to someone, but also that we have a responsibility to pray or do things back for that person. But all of this boils down to the fact that we're given this gift of God in our pastors because we're part of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ came into existence because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth to die on the cross for us so that we could be saved. Being saved just means that when we pass away from this earth, we're guaranteed a ticket to go to heaven. We're guaranteed a ticket to spend eternity in heaven. And if we don't accept him, if we die and we're not born again, as the Bible says, if we haven't made Jesus the Lord of our life, well, there's another place we go. That place is called hell. And it's not the party that Hollywood has made it out to be. It's a place of suffering. It's not a place that we want to be familiar with. We know that Jesus died so that we could go to heaven. The Bible says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that we shall be saved. So if you're in this place tonight and you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life tonight, like I said, I know this is the Faithful Wednesday crew, but I don't know everyone. So no shame. You're probably in the minority if you haven't made this decision, because we've all accepted him. And so no embarrassment. Nobody else is looking around just so I can see you. But if that's you, go ahead and raise your hand tonight if you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life tonight. Thank you, Father. I want to give another invitation. If you're here tonight and you need to rededicate your life to God, that means that maybe you've walked away from him, walked away from his plan for your life. If you're here tonight and you want to come back home just as the prodigal son did, he came home and his father was waiting there with open arms, that's you, I want to invite you to raise your hand tonight. You need to rededicate your life to him. Thank you, Father. I don't see any hands for that either. Praise the Lord. Why don't we all just for a moment just magnify Jesus? Just glorify him in your seats. Father, we love you. We praise you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you.